Hey, there we go.
I'm only supposed to use Skype 2. So first, we started off the original recording saying that Skype's a dirty liar. Now, I'm going to say Skype 5 is awful. So, there. Now okay. I'm back to Skype 2. So we had gold that was just thrown away. Mic problem testings and discussions of motivation. It was 6 hours of a discussion.
I think we even came to the equation that answers everything. That was kind of interesting.
I mean, we figured out how exactly those neutrinos went past the speed of light. So
I kind of wish I had written that stuff down, but I just figured it had been recorded.
Yeah,
so.
I know. But like, the audio quality is so lousy, I had to just destroy the file instead of saving it and try to clean it up. But
that's some sort of wiki with all the life secrets we figure out.
Yeah, we'll have to
Dims
get on
the brakes.
But we were going to discuss motivation.
Right.
And I was discussing how pettiness drives me to do things. Because when it comes to exercise, I'm really bored. I'm very, very bored. I don't find the internal motivation. So I need external motivation, and I'm competing with a friend of mine. And if she doesn't exercise, I will exercise just to make her exercise, and vice versa. How about you guys?
I mean, you know, pettiness is actually a pretty good motivator. I won't say it's a bad one. But I mean, it's kind of like when I want to learn a new programming language or something like that, it's hard to actually motivate myself to actually go out and do it unless I have a project to work on, like if there's an end goal. So like, you know, I love learning inherently, but unless I'm actually producing something, I'm not going to remember anything that I'm doing. So like one of the things I'm working on is Python. We have this game that one of the guys at our office coded in C that we make people play when we hire them. And so my project to learn Python is to code that game in Python instead of C, which may be kind of pettiness, but, you know.
It's interesting. You know, I actually had to play a game when I joined the office I'm at now. But in my case, they set you loose on an island and hunted you down one by one.
That's a good game. That's like gamifying life. I like the idea.
Turns out I wasn't the best at hiding, but I was the best at pushing other people into the line of fire.
Right. Well, I mean, it's all evolution, really. So your company just inherently gets better and better with each generation.
That's right. You know, pettiness is definitely a motivator for me as well. I mean, I have been known to do that. But really, I've got this pet project that I'm working on that anyone who follows me knows all about just because I keep talking about it. But it's one of those that has been in development for ages. And in my case, the thing that that motivated me was making sure someone else was sort of a stakeholder in the project. And she threatens me with bodily harm if I don't work on it. So fear also, great motivator.
So fear and pettiness. Are there any other positive ways to be motivated? I mean, there's gamification of stuff. We talked about photocracy a little bit during the 6-hour epic lost recording. Eric, you've tried photocracy?
I haven't tried it. I mean, I signed up for it and I looked at it. I mean, my problem is that, you know, the reasons that I work out aren't. I mean, really, actually, one of the reasons I'm working out right now is because I'm single. So I have to look better than I do.
So you're saying to get a divorce to care about exercise. It's an interesting idea.
Right. I'm not saying it's going to work in all cases. But, yeah, but that's my motivator for that, you know. Fitocracy, the whole gamification of exercise and things, I guess it works if you have a nice group of people where you're all – you know, kind of working out at the same level. But other than that, you know, it's like just getting Xbox achievements but not actually having any friends to see them, you know?
You know, and my company had this thing recently. A lot of companies do it, the Global Corporate Challenge, which is, it's a certain number of weeks and you're all given pedometers and you are supposed to keep track of how many steps you take. And you know, you're divided up into teams, and your progress is actually tracked on a map to show how far you've walked, translated into real world miles. Although I guess that has to be an estimation because they don't measure your stride or anything like that. But and I thought I was going to do pretty well because, you know, I take public transportation. So I do a lot of walking to and from train stations and, you know, more so than I would if I drove around, except that my team ended up having two marathon runners on it. And one person who in during the actual contest went to Europe and walked all over Paris. So I was the weak link in that group and I felt terrible. And I was walking as much as, you know, I was walking a lot, or at least I thought I was walking a lot, but compared to, you know, unless they were fibbing about how far they were walking, and I seriously doubt they were, it was a fraction of what everyone else did. So, I mean, I'm not competitive enough when it comes to the fit thing. I think for me, really, the motivator for exercise would be to have an exercise buddy, just someone who, you know, we're both working toward a goal. And I mean, I'm really more about encouraging someone in that sense, because I find that much more helpful when it comes to exercise. I have found other ways, like there are games that I play where I say that my philosophy isn't that I'm playing to win. Instead, I'm playing to make sure you lose.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I play poker, actually. I don't play poker to win. I usually end up picking someone else, and it's my game is to make that person bust out.
Well, that's like when I go to, you know, pub quiz, you know, there are nights where we know we're not going to win, but we just pick out the one obnoxious team and go, as long as we beat them, we've yeah. done something.
So it sounds like a hatred of a person, or choosing an enemy seems like a motivator.
I also talked about encouraging people, Ayaz. I noticed that you just overlook that entirely.
You're discussing making somebody lose in poker. Also, let's talk about encouraging words. Do you guys actually respond to positive things? Because anytime I get a compliment, I think there's something else coming. This is probably a whole parental issue, but it's usually like, hey, you did great, but that's what I'm expecting. But when you hear the positive thing, it messes me up.
I'm a very, you know, brush it off kind of person as well. I don't take compliments too well, which actually ends up pissing people off. You know, when somebody gives you a compliment and you're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, tell me about it. When I do that, people are like, they don't want to give you compliments again, and then they do, and you're like, thank you? What do people say?
I find that accepting compliments gracefully really does help quite a bit. Not that I do it all the time, because there are times where, you know, I think a lot, almost everybody has that feeling of, even when you get a compliment, you're thinking, man, if only I had tried a little harder, can you imagine how good it would be? I mean, they think it's great, but it really could have been better. And, I mean, you know, that's kind of a tough way of – that's a good way of burning yourself out too. But, I find that accepting them gracefully can go a long way. Also, you know, I'm an egomaniac, so I just assume that anything I do is pretty amazing.
Well, if you're an egomaniac, aren't you expecting the compliments to be bigger and better? Aren't you disappointed in the compliments because they're not good enough?
I'm not so much disappointed in the compliments as I'm disappointed in the observation skills of those who deliver the compliments. Because clearly there's something wrong with them if they're not able to see how amazing I am. It's not the compliment I'm disappointed in.
Well, then why are you even expecting the compliment? If you know you're that amazing and you expect everybody else to already know that, why would they actually compliment on you? It's just because
you know, people have this need to express things. I mean, it's not that I need the compliments. I don't need no. It's definitely – it's something you do, you know? It's just
I mean, I think back to the motivation stuff, though, is that it is very it's interesting to get your friends to actually positively motivate you to do things. None of my friends are very good at that. When I say I want to do something, they're like, yeah, go ahead and do that. That'll be awesome. You know, like, it doesn't even matter what it is. They're not going to actually nudge me on that much. You know, I don't have many friends that are actually going to push me to be that much greater.
I've got a few, and like I said, with the pet project I'm working on, there's one in particular, and she's been sort of the cheerleader for the project the whole time. And honestly, without her support, it wouldn't have gone anywhere at all. And now we're getting to the point. I just got a Kickstarter campaign approved, and
oh, nice. Throw that link out there, man. What is it?
Oh no, I will. It's not the actual.
It's not up yet.
The project's not live yet because I need to shoot a video for it first. And I mean, trust me, when it's ready to go, I will make sure all 30 of our listeners know about it. Because, you know, I'd like them to go and watch the video and maybe throw a buck or two my way. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I've got a lot of people who are really interested in being part of the project. Lots of people came in and auditioned for me. Many of them, even after the audition, said that they wanted to help out on the project, even if they weren't cast, although we'll see how true that is when we get to the actual once I announce the casting. But because this is a web video series that I'm doing. And, you know, but everyone was very encouraging. It's just that one person in particular has gone above and beyond. So I guess I'm fortunate because,
it does,
you know.
It helps to have that cheerleader. It always does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to motivate people to donate to the Kickstarter? I mean, are you going to auction off roles in the web series? Are you going to offer autographed pictures or special videos or anything in particular? What are you going to do to motivate people to pay you?
Well, the way Kickstarter works is that you have to set up a reward system for contributions. So you come up with various levels of contributions, and then you create rewards for them. Sort of like, you know, if you do a pledge drive, that kind of thing. Well, in my case, I've got both tangible and intangible rewards. For example, for lower level contributions, it'll probably be a sticker with the series logo on it. And then the higher you go, the more significant the right. rewards will be. And some of the higher level ones include a thank you video where my video series is a superhero comedy series. And one of the most popular characters in the series, when we did it as a radio show, a radio theater, I guess I should say, was the villain. And the villain just, I mean, he always got such a great response. So one of the potential rewards you can get is you'll get a thank you video that the villain delivers to you. And so there would be, you know, anyone who would contribute to that level or above would get a personalized thank you video from the series villain that would be character appropriate. And then, you know, if you go even higher than that, you could get, you know, an executive producer credit on the series. But we're also going to, we're planning on creating a DVD at the end of the series. So a lower contribution would mean that you would get a copy of that DVD. Slightly higher than that, you get the autographed copy of the DVD. Slightly higher than that, you might get an autographed copy of the DVD, but autographed by someone who's more interesting than I am. Who knows?
Well, didn't we just determine that there's nobody more interesting than you?
Well, you know, I know that, but I have to throw that out there now. But no, I mean, there's a whole system that you have to come up with so that you can create incentives for people to contribute. And, you know, it's good for you to have a nice wide range so that people who are comfortable contributing a certain amount are going to get a nice reward for that. And they're not going to feel like, oh, well, you know, he's got three levels here. Anything from $1 to $100 is a sticker, and then $100 and up is the really interesting stuff.
Right.
You're never going to make your goal that way. And second, I think that's just very insulting to the people who are really going to make the core audience of whatever your project is. You know, I want whatever my core audience is, I want that core audience to feel invested in my series, not just from a financial standpoint, but from, you know, an emotional standpoint. They're rewarded for their contributions and their support. And plus, I would love to get to a point where I could do the other thing about Kickstarter is you have to have a beginning, middle, and end of your project. You can't just have it be open ended. So in this case, it's going to be season one of this web video series, which I have planned out to be 13 episodes, and I've already got the scripts written, so that part's done. But hopefully, if this does prove to be successful, I could then move on to do a season two. So that's my real goal, is to get season one up and running and to get enough interest to justify doing a season two.
What motivates a guy to do a podcast or a web video series? What the hell is wrong with you?
In my case, it's because I just came up with this goofy idea for this superhero series like 10 years ago and started writing it just as a kind of a just as an, a way to get my creative side, to exercise my creativity. Because back then I wasn't a writer. I was working in a consulting firm, and it was boring, and I needed something as a creative outlet or I was going to go crazy. So I started writing these pieces for the Atlanta Radio Theater Company. And then, you know, I kept thinking, like, web video is becoming more and more accessible. I know people who have really nice high-definition cameras. I know folks who are great video editors. I have contacts that have all the technical skills. And then, of course, I know a lot of actors. And, you know, for a long time, I was thinking maybe I should really try just converting these over to video, because most of the scripts are just, you know, 3 to 7 minutes long, because they were designed to be these short little comedy audio bits, which 3 to 7 minutes, that's great for web video. That's right in the sweet spot. So a lot of the hard part was already done as far as the pre-production work. Now, the production is going to be a huge challenge, but I know enough people that I feel confident that that we can at least make a go of it. If I fail, it's because, the project was more than I could handle. But if I never went for it, I would be kicking myself. And it also helps to see that other series have had some success, sometimes wild success in web videos.
Yeah, things like The Guild.
The Guild is like the example, right?
Right.
You've got The Guild or what's the one with Link? The one where the guy's sucked into the video game world, that one's kind of cute too. There's quite a few web video series that are out there that are meeting with some success. And really, in my view, success is measured by just the how many people are enjoying the series. If I ever make any money off of this, that would be phenomenal. I would love it, but that's not why I'm doing it. I think if it were with the goal of making money, I would have given up already.
It's funny because you said that to do this, it was to get your creative side out. That motivated you to write, to even start the project. And I mean, that's how I feel about creative stuff too. It's almost like you need to get it out, or it's stuck in there and it'll drive you mad. I'm just wondering, yeah, where's the line on that? Like, why is it that when it comes to creative stuff, that motivates us because we think it'll drive us mad? Versus exercise, why doesn't that drive us mad?
I think for some people does.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think for some people exercise does drive them mad if they don't do it. I mean, there are lots of different things that drive people mad. You know, creativity can be boiled down to making a web series or writing a blog or something like that. But then there's also, you know, working out. Like, I know people who, if they don't cook, you know, a big dinner once or twice a week, it kind of drives them mad, you know?
Yeah, are people, you know, people who feel like if they haven't gone for a leisurely drive in a while, they start getting really antsy.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. For me, that outlet has always been writing. I've done a little bit with some music, but very little. And I could see music taking a larger part of that as I become more proficient. But right now, writing is kind of my... I mean, that's always just been where I go for a creative outlet. Occasionally, I'll do some acting. Apparently, I'm going to be part of I'm going to be part of an improv and sketch comedy group. Actually, I guess technically I am part of improv and sketch comedy group. We just haven't done a show yet. We've done some workshops, so that's kind of exciting too. I don't know why I feel like I have the time and energy to devote to all of these things at once, but should be interesting.
That's because you don't have a kid. And apparently, now I must actually cut this episode very short for us. This is like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I need to go watch an individual who I'm motivated to watch because of genetics and biological urges.
I'd like to apologize for dominating this episode.
You dominated.
You asked. It wasn't your fault.
You had to. You're so great at it.
It became an almost advertisement for my web video series, except I was clever. I never mentioned the name.
Meta.
That's true. You got to keep them coming back, Jonathan.
interesting. Maybe we'll do a show where we talk about it on the show. It'd be kind of meta.
Sounds
you know
great.
What I mean?
Yeah, we'll get, possibly. Kind of meta.
Yeah, kind of.
We should make that another one of those hour-long podcasts just to make sure people
Wait,
stick.
No, around. I gotta know if I did. You say meta?
Did I say meta? Maybe.
Yeah.
Because that's the name of my show.
Really? What a quinky
name. Technically, it's mildly exciting tales of astonishment. But when you create the acronym, it's meta.
Aha, and you'll be able to search for that on Kickstarter.com, or if you follow Jonathan Strickland at Google+, you'll see that. Or circle him, and then follow him, and then he's also available in Atlanta, so you can go literally stalk him.
If you go to Fox Brothers Barbecue, there's a 1 in 7 chance you'll see me there on any given night.
And that math is true. That's the thing. Jonathan does not do statistics without actually researching. So I really do have to watch that kid, because I think he's left my eyesight, so I need to go.
All right.
No worries. Yeah. All right. Well, see you next week, gentlemen.
So long, guys. So long, audience. All 40 of you now.